United Church of Christ in Sauk City. WRPQ Baraboo. W279EG Reedsburg. We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Good evening. We are continuing with our Epiphany Moments series, and we're continuing with those various paradoxes that we had. Today it's blessings are cursed and curses are blessed. How in the world does that work? The church doesn't work like the world. We begin our worship with our first hymn, Psalm 1, How Truly Blessed Are They. That's in your Psalter, of all things, and it's one that you learned from, what, TLH and from the Red Hymnal as well, but turned in your Psalter to Psalm 1b. It's about page 3 in your Psalter.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship today. Pastor Timothy Kuski will bring us a message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Luke chapter 16, verses 17 through 26, the paradox of curses and blessings. Our worship this morning follows setting 8. This is on the screen. Our congregation will open the service in singing from the Christian worship hymnal, Psalm 1b, How Truly Blessed Are They, on page 3. Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. We confess our sins. God is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Holy God, gracious Father, I am sinful by nature and have sinned against you in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have not loved you with my whole heart. I have not loved others as I should. I deserve your punishment both now and forever. But Jesus, my Savior, paid for my sins with his innocent suffering and death. Trusting in him, I pray, God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. O God of power and might, you know that we live in the midst of many great dangers, and in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Give us strength and protection to support us in all peril, and carry us through all temptations. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. Our first lesson is from Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 5 through 8. A blessed life is not connected to outward circumstances like health or wealth. Rather, the one who is blessed is the one who has been given the gift of faith, whose trust is in the Lord. We read from Jeremiah 17. This is what the Lord says. Cursed is anyone who trusts in mankind and seeks his strength from human flesh, and who turns his heart away from the Lord. He will be like a juniper bush in the wasteland. He will not see good things when they come. He lives in a dry place in the wilderness, in a salty land where no one lives. But blessed is anyone who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by water. It sends out its roots to the stream. It does not fear the heat when it comes. Its leaves will remain green, and it is not concerned about a time of drought. It does not stop producing fruit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And now we're going to sing Psalm 1 in our Psalter. It's also on the screen. Psalter 1A. Thank you. next lesson is from 2 Corinthians chapter 12, starting the second half of verse 7. Paul had some infirmity. We don't even know really what it was. He initially viewed it as a weakness, and he came to see it as a blessing, as it forced him to rely on his strength, that is, on God's strength. We read from 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me so that I would not become arrogant. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that he would take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will be glad to boast all the more in my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may shelter me. That is why I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties, for the sake of Christ. For whenever I am weak, then I am strong. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise, and we'll speak together the gospel acclamation. Alleluia. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Alleluia. Our gospel lesson is found in Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 17. In one of Jesus' most famous sermons, here he teaches that the good things we seek are found in the places we would least expect. And it's important for us to realize where those blessings and curses come from. We read, he, Jesus, went down with them, the disciples, and stood on a level place with a large crowd of his disciples and a large number of people from all Judea and Jerusalem, as well as from the coastal areas of Tyre and Sidon. These people came to listen to him and to be healed of their diseases. Those who were troubled by unclean spirits were also cured. The whole crowd kept trying to touch him because power was going out from him and healing them all. He lifted up his eyes to his disciples and said, blessed are you who are poor, because yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, because you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, because you will laugh. Blessed are you whenever people hate you and whenever they exclude and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy because of this. Your reward is great in heaven. The fact is, their fathers constantly did the same things to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, because you are receiving your comfort now. Woe to you who are well fed now, because you will be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, because you will be mourning and weeping. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, because that is how their fathers constantly treated the false prophets. The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated, and we'll sing hymn 690, Blessed Are They. Thank you. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Amen. Dear people sitting at the feet of Jesus. Our Epiphany series has been pointing out that the church doesn't work like the world, and this one is clearly about that. As it talks about those who are blessed and will be blessed, he's talking about the church, that is, the group of all believers. And as we see the church work, it's often completely opposite of what we would think. It's a paradox almost. Remember some of the themes we had? Popularity isn't success, and rejection is not failure. And Christ sends the least qualified. We continue to see that as we see Jesus' powerful preaching tonight. He talks about curses and blessings that don't seem to fit the world's idea of curses and blessings. And yet, he expresses those curses and blessings in his actions. He expresses it as the kingdom of God, and he expresses it in terms of our reward in heaven. Let's just take a look at a couple of verses from our text. Blessed are you when men hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their fathers treated the prophets. It's amazing when you see Jesus, and I want you to think about it as he begins his preaching here, how wonderful that was for the people who came. They were getting cured of their illnesses, their diseases, all the difficult things in their lives, the evil spirits that had taken control of them. Satan had pulled out all the stops, and all it did was give Jesus an opportunity to share his love and to define his role, his enemies and ours, are the spirits that we cannot see, the ones that try to make our lives miserable by turning us away from God. Our enemies are demons which tempt and seek to keep us from heaven, and we get confused at times by the firm teachings from faithful teachers. We want the cure right now. We want the answer at this moment, just like them. How amazing that Jesus simply blessed them with power coming out from him. I love that. Think about what that was like. And think how blessed they thought they were. Their earthly maladies were now gone. Where in our epistle reading, Paul rejoiced that he had an earthly malady, because it focused him on God. Think about that as they walked home with cures, as they walked home having good things in their lives. Wow. They thought they were blessed, but how much more they were going to be blessed? More than just being healed by Jesus. More than just hearing this sermon that he was about to preach. But boy, what amazing preaching there was here. These are a portion of the Beatitudes which are more fully laid out in Matthew. But here we see Jesus' powerful preaching expressed as the kingdom of God. Think about that first. What is the kingdom of God? Again, I think I kind of hit that already. It is believing. It's being in that group who believes. And that's very essential as we talk about this section, because it's important for us to realize that he talks about, blessed are you because you're poor, blessed are you because you have people all on your case. He's not saying this is how you get to heaven, by upsetting people. He's not saying you get to heaven faster if you're poor. That's not what he's saying. This is not the way to get to heaven. These are just the characteristics of those who have the kingdom of God in their hearts. And if the blessings God promises to them, that he will give them, when the time comes. That word will is very important. It's part of the proverbial teaching that Jesus gives right here. It's like poetry that needs some context and some thinking. Well, Jesus points out that timing. These blessings will come. It's not something that's in doubt. It's something that's by the promise of God. And he also says there will be curses that will come. Here we see both the strongest law when he speaks to those who are not paying attention to Christ and are getting distracted by the world. And then we see also the purest, most wonderful gospel in his promises of blessings as he describes those who are his and in the kingdom of God. Let us rejoice in this. Matthew makes it clear as he speaks one other thing when Luke didn't quite write it. Luke wrote, "Blessed are the poor." Matthew wrote, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." Here Jesus is clearly making it not so much about the earthly circumstances, but about our spiritual circumstances. He's talking about Christians who have challenges in their lives. How many of you are Christians who have challenges in their lives, right? He's talking to you. And he wants to comfort you for this life, but he also wants to point you to where you're going. So who are the blessed? Again, the believers who are hurting and hopeless and burdened and persecuted. All those are listed here. But you are blessed because by faith you have the sure promise of heaven. Blessings of God should never be taken for granted, but ought to be enjoyed for what they are, blessings from God. But then you look at the second half of our text and see where he says, "Woe to you." He's given a warning to people. These are those people who are connected more to this earth than they are to their Lord. Some of them are the beautiful people, the rich people, the movers and the shakers. They don't look introspectively at the struggles in their lives. They just ignore them. They seem to have everything. But the one thing they don't have, as was said earlier, is the kingdom of God. What we're talking about here, what Jesus is talking about here, are those who are destined for hell. Even though they seem to have some of the best lives right now, they don't have the real blessings, the blessings that truly matter. How important for us to take that warning as well, because we too have temptations to cling to this world. We have temptations to rely on the things of this world rather than the one who made this world and gave us what we have, rather than having a good relationship with our Lord who loves us and wants to have the best for us. And so he sets the needy people, those who are struggling in life, and he sets these next to the rich and powerful. He sets them side by side. And he makes us wonder, which side of that are we on? And are we the ones that are caring for those who are in need? You see, God wants us to look at a little introspection here, that our faith would produce fruits of faith. God wants you to examine your heart. God wants you to look into your heart and see if you trust his promises enough to be a blessing to those around you. I think it's important to see how hard it is to get to heaven. Heaven takes endurance. Heaven comes by perseverance. Heaven comes by faithfulness to his words. But we can rejoice with the blessing of God that as we go through these difficult times, God blesses us by giving us strength. God blesses us by exercising our faith so that we will be stronger to endure, to persevere, to be faithful. And the last one of these blessings and the last one of these woes is really rather interesting. In the one where, in the first one, that's I think earlier in verse, let me see, I can tell you what verse it is. Verse 22, he's saying, you might get kicked out of the synagogue because of me, he's saying. He's saying people will speak evil of you because you trust your Lord, your Savior. That happened to people who were cured, like these people sitting at Jesus' feet this day. Happened a couple of times, down in Jerusalem and up in Capernaum, that people who said, I was cured by Jesus, got kicked out of there because, oh, he's following Beelzebub. This is not something that's uncommon or unreal. People don't like Christians. And sometimes that's because of us. We get a little bit of a big head. How important for us to say, you know what, we're just like you. We got problems in life. We've just found the solution and we'd like you to know about it. Be satisfied customers and rejoice in what God wants to give you. The peace and the joy and the confidence in the direction that God takes you, in the direction that he carries you. God's not asking you to aim for upsetting people, but he is aiming at you being able to speak to them. Jesus' powerful preaching continues. And what a wonderful conclusion in both sections, really, where he says this, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven, for that is how their fathers treated the prophets. And woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets. A lot of what we're talking about is delayed satisfaction. I know the phrase is usually delayed gratification, but I think it's even more than just gratification. It's satisfaction. It is being truly happy with what God has given. That's what blessed is all about. And this is what Christ gave at each one of those blessed proverbs, isn't it? You who are hungry will never go hungry again. You will inherit heaven. This is your kingdom. He had a pithy statement that yours is the kingdom of God. Most of the others were, remember, this will happen. But notice this one says, the kingdom of God is yours. It's an amazing point, and one that we need to remember, that we have the kingdom of God in our hearts right now. When Christ rules our hearts, and the things of this world, although important for the here and now, are not so important for my eternity. That when we truly understand that we're seeking first his righteousness, then we have truly blessed lives. It may not be the rich ones, it may not be the popular ones, it may be rejected at times. But God gives us that delayed satisfaction. And also he brings justice for those who have been wrongfully hurt and made to suffer for their faith. God gives them the strength to carry their cross, and he has delayed punishment for those who brought that. God expects people who love him to speak up for him, to speak the grace of God. That is, he's asking you to suffer in this suffering, sinful world. Why? For the name of Christ. The name of Christ, which brings you into the kingdom of God. So suffer when you have to, but suffer because you point to Christ. Suffer because you promote Him as the solution for your life and the anchor and the rock that keeps you steady and the joy and the peace that carries you through difficult times. And let's also rejoice that God gives His woes, those warnings, for a good reason. He wants even those who don't have the kingdom of God now to have it later. That's who He's aiming for. Even those who treated you unjustly, He wants them to be with Him in heaven, because they are all equally His children as you are, at least by creation. How important to see how Jesus reaches out to them with a loving warning. And isn't that the reason we get the problems that we do from the world? When we make good judgments on the basis of morality, when we preach God's word in the way that we should go, when we warn the world to avoid those eternal pitfalls, how important for us to realize that's exactly what Jesus got in His day. And they crucified Him for it. They killed Him for it, according to His plan. You see, He turned a curse into a blessing, didn't He? Isn't that amazing for us? Let us rejoice in our God who gives us these really interesting paradoxes and parables and all those things that cause us to think, to remind us that our reward is in heaven and not here on earth, to rejoice that the reward we have was achieved by Christ and given to us as a gift. We only receive it by His grace, and we only have it because of faith, a faith which He also gave to us. He won the victory by enduring the most amazing paradox of all, that the God of light who came down to earth was struck down by darkness and rose again on the last day. He blesses us with the eternity that He earned for us. Let us rejoice in that powerful preaching about our unearned reward in glory. Let us rejoice that He includes us as His people to preach His word and express the idea of the kingdom of God and the unity that comes with it in believing that word. And let's also express it like Jesus did, with kindness and love, that others might and may not be cured by what we do, but they will certainly see the comfort that Christ brings through us. Let us preach those amazing paradoxes of Jesus, because that is His powerful preaching. Amen. Please rise. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life,
who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated for our prayer of the church. We pray the responsive prayer that will be on the screen. Almighty God and Father, we thank you for all your mercies, especially for the gift of your Son, through whom you have revealed your gracious will. We praise you for the Holy Spirit and his working through the means of grace. Plant your word in our hearts and cause it to produce fruit in our lives. Strengthen and defend your church, that by your word and sacraments faith may grow, and Lord, toward all, may increase. Who spread the light of your truth throughout the world. Keep our children in the grace of their baptisms. Enable their parents to train them in lives of faith. Raise up children to serve you in the ministry of the word and in all godly walks of life. Preserve our nation in justice and honor. Guide and bless all who make and administer and judge our laws, that they may promote justice and hinder evil. Let your blessing rest on planting and harvest, commerce and industry, medicine and science, the arts and culture. Protect all who travel and care for those whose work is difficult or dangerous. Be with all who devote themselves to any useful task. Comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. Remember those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those for whom death draws near. Grant them your love and take them into your tender care. Lord God, we come before you today on behalf, first of all, of two people who hold calls to serve us. We pray for Peter Gum, who holds the call to be our principal. Dear Lord, we ask you to move his heart, and we say it boldly, to come here. We know that you will use him where you want to use him. Lord, we would love to have this servant of the Lord with us here. Dear Heavenly Father, hear our prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray almost the same for Pastor Jordan Ertl, who holds a call to go a little bit east of here. Lord God, strengthen his heart, help him to understand how needed he is here, and help him to, if it is your will, to remain here with us. Lord God, you have blessed us with him. Continue to bless us with his presence and with his ministry. In Jesus' name we pray. We also pray for John and Judy Shubring, who will be celebrating their 60th wedding anniversary. It's actually today. Lord God, in heaven, you have blessed marriage and given us wonderful examples here at St. John's of what marriage is all about. Help us to do as John and Judy did, going through the rough times together and rejoicing in your grace and mercy. Dear Lord, give all young people that attitude to look for a marriage that works like that and brings the blessings of companionship, children, to the old age. Lord God, bless the Shubrings and be with them. Thank you for their example among us and give them a joyful day today as they celebrate their anniversary. Hear us, Lord, as we also pray in silence. We remember with thanksgiving those who have loved and served you, who now rest from their labors. This morning we committed Paul Freitag to his heavenly home. Console those who are mourning or living with sadness, and give them peace. Keep us in the true faith, and bring us at last to the joys of heaven. Grant us these things, Father, for the sake of Jesus, who died and rose again. Amen. As always on Thursdays, our offering is at the alms box. We continue with the sacrament. Please rise. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lived among us as a human being and revealed his glory as your only Son, full of grace and truth. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Thanks to you, O God, through your dear Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be our Savior, our Redeemer, and the messenger of your grace. Through him you made all things. In him you are well pleased. He is the incarnate Word, conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. To fulfill your promises, he stretched out his hands on the cross and released from eternal death all who believe in you. As we remember Jesus' death and resurrection, we thank you that you have gathered us together to receive your Son's body and blood. Send us your Spirit, unite us as one, and strengthen our faith so that we may praise you in your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we glorify and honor you, O God our Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And in your name we pray the prayer we continue to learn. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the remission of all your sins.
Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Please be seated. Come, for everything is now ready.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM in Baraboo or 103.7 FM in Reedsburg. You can also stream us online at max.fm. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The cable television rebroadcast of the service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch the service on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook and YouTube pages at 9 a.m. every Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in the three-year preschool through the eighth grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments address to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, Wisconsin, 53913, are appreciated. For more information about our congregation, you can visit stjohnsbaraboo.org. The television producer is Will Underwood. This is David Grant. May God bless you and lead you to a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you. On February 16th, we will have Bunko at 12:45 in the Fellowship Hall. Please join us for that. Also, St. John's will sponsor bowling on Sunday, February 23rd at Thunderbird Lanes from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. All lane fees will be covered from 1 to 3 p.m. They ask that everyone sign up by February 16th to participate. Participants are responsible for the cost of shoe rental. A book sale is planned for Lent this year. Donations of books, games, etc. are welcome. There will be a box in the library for dropping off those items. Also this week, we will have our spiritual growth meeting at 6:30 p.m. On Wednesday the 19th, we have our Oak Park devotion at 2 p.m. We have public school catechism at 6:30 p.m. at church, choir practice at 6:30 p.m. at church on Wednesday, and bell choir practice at 7:30 p.m. as well. Join us next Thursday for morning Bible class at 9:20 a.m. and worship at 6:30 p.m. in the sanctuary. Men's Bible study resumes on February 22nd at 8 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. And on Sunday, February 23rd, join us for worship with the Selle Orchestra at 9 a.m. in the sanctuary, followed by bowling from 1 to 3 p.m. at Thunderbird Lanes. Again, for more information about our congregation, you may visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endures forever.
Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this saving gift. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith in you and increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look at you with his favor and give you peace. Please be seated for a wonderful song, Behold the Host, Arrayed in White.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
WRPQ Baraboo. W279EG Reedsburg.
Time for the Lutheran Hour, brought to you by Pastor Gerke and his congregation at Trinity Lutheran Church, 728 Church Street, Wisconsin Dells.
The Bread of Life, who forgives and feeds his church, this week on the Lutheran Hour.
Jesus gives himself as the bread of life so that all we need can be filled by him and his gifts.
Dietary guidelines come and go, but Jesus is the true bread of life that will always provide what we truly need every day. Dr. Dan Pavela is our guest speaker today on the Lutheran Hour. Hi, this is Mark Eicher. Glad to be with you once again here in our 92nd season of broadcasting. The Lutheran Hour is listener-supported. To learn how your gifts and